So what's your favorite?
How did you go?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
Quick question with Soren and Daniel.
Here.
Known for being long. Famous for frequently not having questions. The hosts don't think much about it, so let's have some fun. Let's find out what is Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Hey there, folks. Welcome to a whole new podcast episode, a podcast all about why two hosts are not as interesting as they think they are. My name is Daniel O'Brien, and I'm not alone. Joining me today is Soren Bowie, a television writer for American Dad, a very funny stand-up comedian, and a father of two. Soren, has this bit overstayed its welcome?
I'm just reeling. There's a Chicago accent happening as well.
I'm really trying.
I think maybe you might have it felt very impromptu. It felt like you started reading and you were like, you know, this just fits. And
oh yeah,
kept,
no, I did
with it.
I wasn't trying from the beginning. You're absolutely right that I it's hard to do the cadence of that without slipping into a borderline offensive impression of Alex Schmidt.
I'm coughing, laughing. Yeah, okay. I know exactly how you're channeling that now. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
New intro. I like it.
Okay.
I think we could keep experimenting though.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. That's a great note. How are you, man? It's been a couple
really
of weeks.
Really brutal. Brutally honest version of our podcast. Thanks to Ethos for supporting Quick Question. With Ethos, you could get life insurance in 10 minutes for as little as $10 a month. Get a free personalized quote at ethoslife.com/QQ.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/QQ.
Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use natural, medical-grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription.
Well, it's for any listeners who don't know, it is exactly the intro to our friend Alex Schmidt's podcast, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, that he does every week with a couple of tweaks to make it more specific to our show, because his whole shtick is the world is more interesting than you think it is, and ours is here are two people that should be interesting because they're comedy writers in the entertainment industry. I bet they've got some stories, but the truth is we're not. We don't have stories about the entertainment industry. Today we're going to talk about
just as easily
food.
That's right. We could have just as easily named this podcast. Is anybody liking this? Like, are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
We don't know.
You know, if you want us to stop, just drop us an email. Just say, subject line, that's enough. Subject line, that's enough. No reason to fill out the body of the email.
We get enough of those and we'll stop. this is not we did actually talk beforehand. This is like the most work we've ever done on a podcast where we kind of like decided we could do like a themed episode if we wanted to.
Yeah. We're not doing it on this one.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll save it for next time. Put it in the hopper.
Before we get into the show, do you got anything? What's going on? Can you talk for a little bit?
I'm living my best life right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I got better from COVID and now I'm just like, I am out in the world. I am in circulation.
I think I was reading about you in a science magazine. You lost your sense of taste, but since you've recovered, you now taste 110%. You taste more than everybody else. You get all these bonus flavors that we don't have.
It's what I do. I've started to, in a very daredevil way, is I just close my eyes and feel my way through the world through my taste buds. And I can like, I get this, if I could describe it to you, like it's basically like I'm seeing sonar, but with taste around me.
Just mouth open, just like deep inhale.
It does require me to have my mouth open.
Like Kirby, just like pulling in air around you. and be like, everyone around me, I could tell they're nervous.
It does require me to breathe in deeply and make a gasping, haunting noise. Yeah. And my tongue has to be out of my mouth.
Yeah, of course.
The whole time. But other than that, like, it's a fun way to kind of get from A to B.
Yeah. Are there things that you weren't doing before you had COVID because you were nervous about it? That,
oh, yeah.
Now, yeah? What's the big one? Movie theater?
I did go to the movies.
Are you allowed to go to movies other than in the middle of the desert by yourself?
Yes. And I've been going to the mall.
Ooh.
I go to, like, stores in the mall, things that I've been, like, I would ordinarily just order on Amazon. I was like, no, I want to see it in person, and I can now. And so I'll be in the mall and then doing impromptu things. Like, I'll be at the mall and be like, I'm hungry. What if I just went to the food court and ate here? I went to a LAFC game, which is a soccer game.
Soccer, football.
It was a playoffs game in a cool new stadium here. So I was in a big stadium, and I rode the metro there, which is at rush hour. I'm riding on a train packed with people that we're all – you know, we're crushed in there at a point where nobody's sitting down. We're all standing. And I'm not even wearing a mask, and I'm feeling great about it.
That's awesome. I'm really happy for you, man.
Thank you. That's pretty much my update, is that I'm just like, and I out in the world, and it's not super safe because I also have my children with me occasionally. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll just be in the store. I've been in the store for 45 minutes getting groceries or whatever. And then I'll look down and be like, you're not wearing a mask. I should have put a mask on you. That would have been smart.
Well, there's always next time. Why don't we get into the show? I've got a quick question, Soren.
Oh, great. Yeah, let's get started. What's up?
I'm not going to word this correctly. I'm going to hopefully explain it by the time I finish talking. I want to know what's something fairly, something that you really aspire to as a child that... as an adult, you've realized is fairly banal. And banal might not be the best word for it, but I'll just start with my own story, is that when I was a kid, it was very aspirational to me to be able to walk into a restaurant and have a waiter or waitress ask if I wanted the usual. Like, that's just something that I had seen in movies and TV. And I was like, that seems so cool. As a kid, I was like, How do I do that? How do I achieve that status? And adult me realized that it's only as difficult as going to the same place over and over again and never varying your order.
Right.
And it was still like so novel and so cool to me. And I achieved regular status in multiple places in like high school and college, and was still just like really thrilled about it. And I had like a trio of buddies that we all had the usuals at my regular diner. And then I would, as like a real thrill for me, bring other people every once in a while. Like, I brought my friend Katie in high school. I brought her to my usual diner sometime in high school or college. And we sat down at our table, and the waitress comes over and says, "The usual?" And I said, "Yes, Carol, thank you." And Katie closed her eyes and said, "You're so fucking weird." And I... And she's right. Katie has always had a very internally conflicted relationship with me, where she liked hanging out with me. She saw value in it, but there were certain things about me that she just absolutely hated, and this was one of them. And it was shocking to me. I was like, don't you think there's something mayoral about this? Is this not this is not impressive?
Couldn't you see me in a sash?
Yeah.
Doing this? I get what you're saying. I mean, when I was young, like, the idea of having your spot,
yeah,
and that was like where you would go. And I liked the idea of even going out to eat was very romantic to me as a kid, where I was like, if on a Friday we were gonna go down to town and go eat, I was like, fuck yes, I'm gonna get a soda. It's gonna be awesome. I was into it. And to have then that place where you go so regularly that they're just like, even with the turnover that you'd have with waitresses and waiters and stuff, like, they'd still, everyone there knows you, and you walk in and they're like, hey, you want the usual? Chuck Klosterman talked about that when he would go into into bars, and they had the Witty Chuck, which was like a drink you could order.
Yeah.
Named after him.
When I used to live in New York, I lived above a restaurant, and I would go there all the time. Some weeks, I would go there every single night and just eat and work from my computer there. And I had since moved, obviously, and then went back sometime in the last year to meet a bunch of coworkers. And I said, oh, let's go to this restaurant that's very nostalgic for me. And we went there, and the restaurant was packed. There was like a private event. And then the owner came up to me, and I was like, hey, if there's no room for us, that's no trouble at all. We'll find somewhere else. And he goes, no, let me see what I could do. And he cleared out the table that is reserved for employees to like roll silverware and do their accounting and stuff.
Yeah.
And he guided my party over to that table. And I felt like the fucking man. And my coworkers were like, wow. And then I realized, yeah, I spent like $14,000 in here. I don't know. lived above this place for 2 years.
If we ever start some sort of business where we're like customer facing, we should have a rewards program that offers that kind of thing. Like every business has got a rewards program, but it's always about discounts.
Yeah.
But instead, like the rewards program should be when you walk in, first of all, we're going to call you by your first and your last name. Mm-hmm. We already know who you are. And you're not even going to give you a menu. We're just going to come up to you and say, do you want what you usually have, or do you want the usual? Like there's different things you can swing for, and if you spend enough money there, that's like one of the perks. Is this? It's just this familiarity.
Yeah, and one of them is like if you're clearly there on a date, then they have like an actor on standby who comes out and pretends to be the chef and asks you how you liked the food and talks to you about it.
That's. Man, fuck. That, now you're making me think like that is a really cool thing that happens sometimes where like the waitress will come and tease it. If you go to the restaurant with the right person, the waitress will be like, hey, oh, you're here. Yeah. Benny would really like to see you. I'll tell him you're here.
Yeah.
And you're like, who the fuck is Benny? And they're like, oh, he's the chef. He's the head chef. And like throughout the meal, like you're kind of hearing about it. And then all of a sudden at some point in the meal, Benny comes out and he's like, hey, how you liking it? Is it good?
And
honestly, how
part of that
admirable
trick,
that is.
If you bring out like literally anything, like give me a piece of ham on toast with a little bit of olive oil on it. If you just like bring two small plates of those out, and it's like Benny wanted you to have this. It's on the house. It's not on the menu. It's just from Benny. Thrilling.
Yes.
Absolutely thrilling. Doesn't matter what it is.
Oh,
a couple of handy snacks.
Oh God. Yeah. I have a friend who for a while ran a sushi restaurant in Aspen.
Really?
And when we would go back, we'd go to this sushi restaurant, Colleen and I, and it was amazing to go. Like, you go to try and like the host, if they didn't recognize you, be like, try and seat you at a table, and he'd from the sushi bar like, no, sit him up here. He's like, okay, do you have any dietary restrictions? And we'd be like, no, and he'd be like, okay, I'm going to make you a meal. And he would just like get to work and he would just start making things and like putting them out. And I was like, yes, I would pay $100,000 for this.
I want that service at every restaurant too. I want to go to a McDonald's and like sit at the counter where like all the cash registers are and just like have my special stool. And
you
I get
the kitchen table.
The
table in the kitchen where you're like, you get to be in the hustle and bustle.
And I just tell the 15-year-old chef, I'm like, omakase, please. Just whatever you recommend. Just bring it out.
Whatever you're liking right now.
Yeah.
Give me that. Have you heard the story about Don Rickles and Frank Sinatra that's similar to that?
No.
Okay. This is amazing. Don Rickles was at, I don't know, it was one of those restaurants like, a famous steakhouse back in the day. Don Rickles is at the height of his career, but he's still nowhere near Frank Sinatra, right? Mm-hmm. Like Frank Sinatra's way higher. And Frank Sinatra was there and Don Rickles was on a date. And he kind of had met him a couple times. And so at one point he quietly went over to Frank Sinatra and like introduced himself again. And he was like, hey, I don't know if you're willing to do this, but it would be really nice if you came over at some point and just said hello. That would like make my day, and it would like my date would go crazy about that because he wanted to just look like a big timer. He wanted Frank Sinatra to come by and be like, oh, hey, oh, good to see you, Don. And Frank Sinatra was very magnanimous and was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so 45 minutes later, whatever, Don Rickles is eating his meal with this woman and Frank Sinatra's on his way out. So he stops by the table and he's like, hey, Don, I just wanted to say hello. And Don goes, I'm fucking eating here, man. It's like, it's the best way to play that, I think.
That's excellent.
It's like, just treat Frank Sinatra just like another fan. It's just bothering you at your meal. Hey, if you're hearing this ad, we've got some good news for you. That means you're alive still. That's great news. I mean, something we sort of take for granted every morning when we wake up. We're like, oh, it's cold outside. I don't want to get out of bed. But the fact that you woke up at all is a miracle every single day. So you've still got time to get life insurance with Ethos, because someday you're not waking up, my friend. With Ethos, you could get life insurance in 10 minutes for as little as $10 a month. Unlike other companies with these long and confusing and outdated dinosaurs of applications that you have to fill out, Ethos has a 100% online application that takes only minutes. So you can get back to doing what you love, which is, I presume, living, because you're still doing it. Ethos has no medical exams, just a few easy health questions, and competitive rates from top-rated carriers. Ethos is affordable and convenient. So join the thousands of satisfied families protected with help from Ethos who have given the company a 4.8 star rating on Google reviews. I don't know if you know this about me, but your boy, Soren Bowie, has life insurance. I decided once I had children, it was silly of me not to, that I had now had other people in my life that were really depending on me. And I'm not going to live forever. I know that now. I've come to terms with it. And so I want to keep my kids and my wife and my family protected when I'm no longer here. Because with, you know, any luck, God willing, I go before them. Don't want to have to deal with the prospect of any of them leaving before me. So every year you wait, life insurance premiums increase by 8-10%. And I didn't know that. I should have started way earlier. You can get a free personalized quote at ethoslife.com/QQ, spelled ETHOS life.com/QQ. You go to ethoslife.com/QQ and you get free life insurance quotes today. You can do it right now. Now, it's not available in all states and prices are subject to underwriting and certain health questions. Get a free personalized quote at ethoslife.com/QQ, spelled ETHOS life.com/QQ. Go to ethoslife.com/QQ to get your free life insurance quote today. Ethos Technologies, Inc., operated in California as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states and prices subject to underwriting and certain health questions.
Can we talk about notifications for a second? Who actually leaves those sounds on anymore? Cha-ching! Well, besides that kind, that's another sale on Shopify. Cha-ching! The all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Whether your thing is vintage tees or recipes for ghee, start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. Shopify makes it simple to sell anywhere in the world to anyone in the world. Maybe you're selling t-shirts, or maybe you're selling recipes or cookbooks. Maybe you're selling sneakers or fun socks, or it's almost Christmas time. Maybe you're selling custom Christmas ornaments. I am buying a custom Christmas ornament for everyone in my family. So if you're selling them, get at me. And if you're selling them, start selling them with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store with your vibe. You'll discover new customers and you can grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks to 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content, Shopify's got you every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify, and you will too. When you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, do it with Shopify. The commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Love that slogan. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Shopify would like me to talk about a dream business idea that I've been dying to start and how the simplicity of Shopify will be a factor to encourage me to step up and start it. Here's my dream business. It's a toaster with a glass front and back so you can watch it get toasted as it goes. And there's no like lightness or dark to darkness 1 to 10 setting on the side where you could like, you tell it, you just, there are two buttons. You push it down and then you press another button when you want it to come up. So you only send it up when your toast is toasted to your liking and you could see it because the thing is glass. You wouldn't just like put a toasted marshmallow over a fire and wait a certain amount of time. No, You go by look. You go by vibes. You look at it and you say, that's done. That's what I want to do with toast in my toaster. I want to put my bread in the toaster, press the button down, and then I want to conveniently sit in front of the toaster and stare at it and watch it and not walk away at all. And then as soon as it's done and not a second late, I want to press the button that sends it up. And then I feel like I had something to do with the outcome, and it's more like cooking and less like auto wash. And that's my dream business. That's one of my dream businesses, clear toasters. And I would consult with Shopify to help make my idea real. Shopify would help me sell it and reach new customers so I could sell to anyone anywhere in the world, and they would help me do it across social media platforms. Shopify makes selling simple, so you can put yourself and your ideas like a clear toaster that's a hit idea out there. Whether your thing is making ebooks or earrings or clear toasters, Shopify makes your success possible. Making your idea real opens endless possibilities. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. It has never been easier to start and grow a business thanks to Shopify. Go on! Cha-ching! Try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Cha-ching! Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/QQ. Go to shopify.com/QQ to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/QQ.
I think I have one. I think growing up, the idea of an Admiral's Club or like a club at an airport was so enticing to me. It seemed like the coolest thing in the world. And it seemed like something that was not achievable by anyone but those who are like the most successful in life. Yeah. What I realized later in life was it was the people who have to travel and be away from their families for 200 right. days a year are the ones who have access to these Admiral clubs.
It's also a lot of it is so frustrating that it does just come down to who can afford it. Like it's not really unless I'm mistaken, the Admiral's Club. It's the same thing of like driving down in my parents' car and like seeing a limo and thinking, as a kid, I'm thinking that's gotta be Jordan, that's gotta be Michael Jackson, that's gotta be like who could possibly be in a limo? And then smash cut to renting a limo for senior prom and just being in the back of a limo with a bunch of my stupid friends. And I was like, oh, it was just us. It was just us who pulled our money together. Fuck, that sucks. Yeah. What a bummer. Yeah.
The tinted windows, it was endless possibilities in there. Yeah. Like somebody had come to your small town and you're like, are you fucking kidding me? There's a celebrity here.
Yeah.
And then you find out later when you win a Book It award that you're allowed to go get pizza in a limo. Like, oh, it's just some other fucking 9-year-old who won an award at school because he sold the most magazines.
Yeah. It's a kid who's going to go to the Pizza Hut and then do one of those collect call scams to get a ride from their mom to come home, where if you say in the name spot, hey mom, I'm ready to get picked up, I'm at the Pizza Hut, then they don't charge you for the call and you don't have to pay the
right
quarter.
She gets the message. Yeah, Admiral's Clubs, and I've since been in one, and I'm sure that Admiral's Club is like a proprietary name. I'm sure that there's some one of the many places that's US Airways or whatever, but like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, in general, like there's always a club associated with any airline, and it's always like this frosted glass and you walk in there, and my assumption was it was an old school boys smoking social club. Like there's just like libraries of books and there's mahogany everywhere and leather chairs and everyone's just like,
you walk in
chilling,
and they're like, Soren, let us know when you'd like to take off and we'll go.
Yeah. 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 Will you be having cigars or women today? I just figured it was like, it was the coolest thing in the world. It must be. It must be in there. And it was a place where you could get away from the riffraff of an airport. And it's not. I mean, it's shitty. It's just as shitty in there as it is everywhere else, except sometimes they have honeydew melon.
Yeah. Did you, what was the occasion for you?
That I got in there?
Yeah.
It was my credit card. The credit card that I currently have is a rewards card that I got because it's really great for flying from Los Angeles to Aspen.
Yeah.
It's like they do direct flights. And because I had it, I was like, in an airport, spending too much time there with a delayed flight. And I was like, I wonder if I can just go in here. And so I went in, I showed it to them. They're like, yeah, yeah, come on in. And I was just like chilling in this place where I was like, oh, you know, the chairs are only moderately more comfortable than yeah. they are out there.
I think I paid extra one flight to get into, I've ended up being like weirdly, inexplicably brand loyal to United for no clear reason.
Okay.
So whatever the United Club was, which might just be called the United Club, I was like, I'm here. I got to the airport stupid early. So let me kill my time in this. Let me get a couple of martinis in the lounge. And I walked in there and like exactly the same experience as you. I'm like, oh, all right. Do you guys have Wi-Fi? Or I don't even think it might have been early enough that Wi-Fi wasn't a thought for me. It was mostly just like, do you guys have games or something? Do you have like yeah. a Nintendo Wii I can fuck around on for a little bit?
Yeah, is a Street Fighter stand-up arcade game in here somewhere?
The one thing that I did love about that I recommend for that experience is they ask you when your flight is, and they tell you when you need to go over there. So I don't have to listen for anything, and I don't need to wait for too long. They're just like, okay, Mr. O'Brien, you should start heading over to your terminal now. I was like, great.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
I found that there were a lot more people on their phones in there too. Like there were guys who were just like, they felt way more comfortable to be like, finally a quiet spot where I can talk on my phone. And they weren't using the customary lowered voice. They didn't seem humbled while they were doing it. And I was like, well, this is shittier.
They were just very loudly shorting stocks or whatever it is that people do in Admiral lounges.
Yelling business into their phone.
I have lots to say about airports now. This is a thing that I've been trying to work into this show that I haven't found a good way into. But the last time I flew from Newark to Los Angeles, must have been for the Emmy Awards, I was waiting at the restaurant bar outside of my terminal, eating my breakfast, and another guy came. Here's a thing that you might, and certainly our audience won't know about the Newark Airport terminal. They made a change a couple of years ago with the ordering system that was great, where you can sit at either a bar or a restaurant, or even at the like chairs at your terminal waiting area, and there was an iPad, and you could order food and drinks from the iPad, and you can cruise the internet on the iPad, and you could play games on there, you could do trivia, and it was great. You didn't have to talk to anyone if you didn't want to. You could just like punch in your things and then swipe your credit card. It was so convenient. It was so great. That was a couple of years ago. They have since upgraded in a new way where they still have the iPads at all of these stations, but you're not allowed to order from them. All the iPads do is they show you a QR code that you scan with your phone, and then you order with your phone. And instead of swiping your card, because you can't swipe your card on your phone, you manually input your number of your credit card into your phone, and that's how you
order.
And it's much worse, and it's not entirely clear. I am a fairly tech-savvy person, and I was still like, I'm not really sure that went through. And you can't talk to anyone who works there, because I think part of the hook of doing the system is airports are so short-staffed that they're like staffing these bars with people who are beholden to these systems. When I'm asking like, hey, did my sausage and potatoes come through? They're just like, I mean, I won't know until it comes out. Someone else will hand it to me, and I'll give it to you. But I figured out the system with enough time. And I sit there long enough that like you watch everyone go through like basically the same situation where they're like, I don't order from the iPad. Oh, I have to, it's my phone. Okay. Right. Can I just order from you? No. Can I see a menu? No. Okay. All right. And you know, I help whomever is next to me because I'm like, I just went through this. It is annoying, but like, this is what we have. And then there was one guy who came and was so mad and refused to do this system. And he was like, it was one of those kiosk bar restaurants where there was also like guys making sushi. And when the waiters weren't helping him, he was going to the guys making sushi and was like, my man, What do you recommend? What do you recommend? And the sushi guy's like, I'm not allowed to say anything to you. And the waiters are like, he can't help you. You have to use your phone. Fuck the phone. Fuck QR codes. I hate this shit. I hate this fucking shit. Give me a menu. I'll give you money. And he's like taking out cash. And the employees are like, we can't take that. We can't. Everyone else is just doing this. And he's so mad. And he's like stomping his feet. And he really thinks if he just swears enough and yells enough, eventually this is going to get fixed. And I almost says, I mean, he was crazy, so I wasn't going to say anything to him. But I almost did, because he's such a, he was very fascinating to me, especially as someone myself. I've talked about this on the podcast before, where like I can get angry sometimes and I could lose my temper. And it's a thing that I'm always working on through meditation and running. And he is a great example of like, that's what it looks like when it's, man, it's not cool when someone's angry. Man,
no.
He just looks nuts. He just looks unreasonable. He looks like a big adult baby. And I want to just be like, what, how? You're in an airport. How angry do you intend to get in this airport? There's not, none of us actually want to be here. We are all waiting here so we can go somewhere else. That's the whole design of this place. It is a top to bottom inconvenient experience for all of us. We all take our shoes off and wait in lines and get here early because it's at the end of the day, the best way to fly across the country to get 3,000 miles away from here. But like, we're all, the agreement is we all just like sit here uncomfortable for a little while and then sit in a plane uncomfortable for a little while. And then we're in the place we want to be. And isn't that nice? So like, can't you just join us and be like kind of unhappy, but like shut up about it? And he wasn't going to do any of those things. Happy. He's just like, he's just screaming and he's yelling. And the waiters and waitresses are just like, there's another restaurant down at the other side of the terminal. And he's like, they take cash. They have menus. And they go, no, but you can, you can go to that one. And he eventually like left and was still just like stomping down the terminal going like, fuck this shit. And I still thought like, to what end? What is the,
I don't know, man. And I'm like, especially like, team.
I also don't, I'm so pissed that I had to manually type in my credit card number into my phone multiple times because it's an imperfect system. It's so inconvenient. I almost went without breakfast, but it's also like, this is what the restaurant said I had to do. So my options are to do it that way and get the thing I want, or not do it and don't get the thing I want. And I don't understand.
I know where you're coming from.
Pitch me on his side.
I think it's really, I always get a little excited when there's somebody in a circumstance that like, I've been putting up with the shit of that I've been forced to put up with because this is just how life works. And there's somebody who walks into the situation and is like, no, absolutely not. And I can just quietly kind of be on their team. And I mean, the way they're handling it is really poor, but I want that. I want to see somebody come into that situation and brand new to it and be like, this is absurd. And like really throw their hands up and get upset about it, because there's part of me that's like, yes, it absolutely is. And I want to see how this plays out. And it's not me who I get to not have to deal with the consequences.
At that point, me and the other betas at the breakfast bar had already joined our side of the war. Because we started the same way as him. We were also like, but I don't want to use the iPad. I hate QR codes, but I don't want to use my phone. This is inconvenient. Oh, well, I'll do it. So now when we see someone who is too good for the thing that we all did, then it's like, all right, you pick a fight with the waitress, you pick a fight with all of us, because we're brainwashed. And you know what? In fact, I think the system's good. I love QR codes. I love my phone. I wish all restaurants did this, you piece of shit.
I've been in a bank before where I don't even know what the dude's issue was, but like he started shouting, it's my money. And he was getting kind of nasally and like high pitched and stuff. And he was like, it was such an ineffectual fight he was trying to throw down, and had no power in the situation. But he was still like shouting, stamping his foot and saying, it's my money. And at a certain point I could hear the teller say, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And he goes, he like stops for a minute and goes, no, no, you're going to have to take me out. Just like, he didn't want that either. But at this point, he's like, so you're going to suffer somehow. I'm going to figure out how to make this hard on you. And so somebody's going to have to carry me. And I was like,
that's kind of awesome. Yes,
I got to see this. I want to see this play out. I feel that way too. It's my money. Look, there are a lot of hair loss treatments out there that people ascribe to. People think, oh, this is the one for me. No, this is the one for me. I'll try any single one of them. But what you don't know about a lot of them is that they have some pretty nasty side effects. And that's because you're dealing with some pretty hardcore drugs. Not with Nutrafol. You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. Get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs and no compromises. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol's hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle, and just genetics, folks. For whole body health, physician formulated using natural medical grade ingredients, Nutrafol's drug-free patent technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. Yes, your sexual health. That's one of the possible side effects of some of the other ones that are a little bit more extreme. In a clinical study, men show progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. So if you're looking to grow thicker, healthier hair and support your body, then just go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code QQ. You'll save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men, promo code QQ.
I kept coming back to the airport guy just because I was also thinking, like, hey, I mean, best case scenario, you get your, you know, 8:30 a.m. scotch that you seem to really want with to go with your breakfast sushi, you fucking maniac. Best case scenario, everyone bends the rules and you get that. Worst and more likely scenario is security comes and, you know, this isn't getting kicked out of a restaurant or getting dragged out of a bank. You're in the airport because you're trying to get somewhere. You had a whole plan. You need to be in another state today. And if you get in a fight in the airport and then they're like, you can't fly anymore, that ruins so many of your plans and is so expensive.
Yeah, and there's other people surely involved in that in some capacity. Yeah. Like, yeah,
and then you have to what? You have to call your mom or your business partner or your son and be like, yeah, bad news. I punched a 15-year-old at the airport bar.
Because he wouldn't give me sushi. he wouldn't take my money. So I hit him.
They made me show my phone to the iPad screen, so I need a security guard in the groin, and now I'm not allowed to fly Delta anymore.
I'm not allowed any Chili's to go anymore. I genuinely do like it when I see people that, like, it is an unfair system. It's a system where I've been like, all right, well, fucking, this is just the way it is. And there's somebody who just comes in and blows it up. And they're like, absolutely not. I'm not dealing with this. And I have been that guy I'll say, like, a more patient way I don't know. You go to a gym now, right, Daniel?
Hell yeah.
And when you go there, do you have to, like, have an app on your phone and then you pull it up and then you log in that way and you're like, you don't come in with like a key fob or something anymore.
I do a key fob, yeah. You can do it on the phone if you want, but my gym, Soren, you have the famously former disciple of Equinox or whatever they call you in that strange cult. You have to understand, I go to a very cheap, filthy, disgusting gym.
So Equinox is a worst offender, and that was where I raised a stink. Was because I also felt like I deserved it there. I felt very entitled. But Equinox is like, their system is you don't even talk to the person at the front desk. As you get close to the gym, you just pull up the app and then you log. You say like, oh, I'm checking in. and then you push a button and then you just walk past the desk and they look at the, they might briefly look at the laptop that they have there and it'll be like, hey, Soren has checked in. And they're like, hey, good to see you, Soren. And that's the only interaction you have.
Yeah.
You don't do anything else. And now I'm at LA Fitness and it's a similar situation where like you just come in and you do have to pull it up on your phone, but then you scan it from your phone. You, nobody gets key fobs anymore. Nobody gets, you don't do a thumbprint or anything like that. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, too many companies want me to put an app on my phone.
Oh, I certainly
hate that I have to do an app for everything.
I certainly hate that. I really can't stand that because I have my like normal gym and then I do Orange Theory, which requires an app. And then my boxing gym also requires an app. And
it's crazy.
Like, it's there's any minute now, it's the thing that happens once every couple of months is going to happen. And my phone that I also don't understand is going to be like, hey, there's too much stuff on your phone. And I was like, I know, yeah. I don't want it either, but it's the only way they let me buy groceries now. So you just have to deal with it. The phone needs to change.
I have to have an app for where my kids get their haircuts. Like that's the only way I can,
Jesus.
I can do that. I have to have an app for every single service that I can chart, like plug my car into.
Yeah.
Like, I have an app for, there's so many, just in case I ever go to an MLB game again, I have to have ballpark app just so I can put my tickets on it. Like,
that's also another thing
so many
that like, there's so many times where like someone has transferred concert tickets to me and that required me to download an app. And so I create an account, I download the app, I get my tickets, I go to the concert, I delete the app, I move on with my life. And then 10 months later, I'll have to use that same app again, forget that I did it, try to create an account. And they're like, oh, we already have an email address with that account. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know my password because I thought I was one and done.
Well, show, what is the account? Show me what the account is. And the app is like, I'll never tell. I'll never show you.
Like, you gotta, you have to put in your password. Like, if I had to guess, my password was probably something like, fuck this shit.
It's all 911. and so I would, at Equinox, I was like, they're like, you got to put an app on your phone. And I was like, what if I can't do that? And they were like, oh, I guess you could come in and give a phone number. Like, they're like trying to figure it out too. Like, this has never occurred to them that somebody would do this. And so that made me like dig my heels in even more that they were so obtuse about it. So whenever I would come, I would stand there at the front desk until someone was like, can I help you? And I was like, yes, I need to log in for that. I need to check in. And they're like, you can do it on your phone. I'm like, I can't on my phone. And then finally this dude pulled me aside when I came in. Cause at that point he got to know who I was, because every time that I come in, I would ask to do it through a phone number. And he finally was like, Soren, let me ask you something. What is keeping you from putting the app on your phone? And I was like, it's an old phone. I insist on having an older phone because I don't want to be on my phone all the time. And unfortunately, it just doesn't, like, I'm making up a bunch of bullshit
on
the spot.
Yeah.
Just to be like, I'm not living your life. I'm not putting the app on my fucking phone.
It's always tough when situations force otherwise honest people to become liars. Because you're not allowed to say, I just don't want to do it. You have to be like, well, my grandmother's dying wish was that I keep my flip phone. So that's why.
Yeah. So I came up with this big thing about how, like, in order to keep my, so that I don't spend so much time on my phone, I use an older phone that doesn't allow me to download anything. And he was finally like, okay, and let it go. At a certain point, I did cave and I put the Equinox app on my phone and it was way better. Like, the system was way more streamlined and designed for that. But then I've got 5 pages of apps on my fucking phone.
That's too many. And it's also, I mean, like, we are complaining about this. I hate when I get at all social or political or serious, but we're complaining about this from pretty obvious positions of privilege where we don't want to have apps on our phones because we don't feel like doing it. It does make it screamingly clear just how difficult it is for anyone to, if they were struggling at any point and they're trying to get jobs or join a gym or buy food, have food delivered to their house, just how the world has bent itself so thoroughly that, like, oh, you need to get an iPhone or an Android phone or like one of these other smartphones. You're no longer allowed to live in this world without a phone. It's a depressing depressing truth about the state of things.
You're absolutely right. I think about that sometimes when I go to restaurants now, because every restaurant requires you to do a QR code now. Like, they don't even bring you a menu in LA. Yeah. And
here too, I think it's like, everywhere.
You're fucked. I mean, if you don't have a phone or like even a modern phone, you can't even like go to a restaurant in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'll sit on that for a while, I guess. Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if you want it.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
Okay. What's a thing? I think we've talked about
I guess I can start. Pineapple.
Okay, good one.
Ceiling fan.
Unfortunately, not right, though.
Cactus.
Yeah, the right answer was cactus.
Oh, good. All right, good.
What's a thing that you think everybody else is doing wrong? Like, you've unlocked a way of doing things where you're like, why is nobody else doing it this way? And I'll start because I have one that I want to proselytize. I want to get out to the world because I see everybody doing it wrong. Well, two things. I'll do two.
Great.
The way that everybody cuts avocados, what is your strategy for cutting an avocado?
I put the avocado on the table. I take my biggest, sharpest knife. I hit just far enough to hit the seed on the inside. And then I rotate the knife and avocado around each other, separate them.
So far.
And then whatever side has the seed in, I then take my knife and I jam it into the seed and wiggle the knife around and pull the seed out because I've now got the seed. The blade is about halfway into the seed. And that's enough that I can just like pull the seed out whole. And then I have two perfect halves of avocado and I scoop them out with a spoon and I throw it in the trash.
And how often would you say you're either holding that half of avocado with the seed in it or it's on the table and like you hit it with the knife and it's not exactly perfect blow on a sphere and so it glances off and just digs into the avocado or digs into your hand or hits the table and makes that terrible noise? How often would you say that?
Very often. And the quickest of tangents for this is because it's almost always in my hand like an idiot. And one time I was at Michael Swaim's house and I was grilling in his backyard and I used his knives, which were unfamiliar to me. And I brought the knife down into the seed and I was like in front of people and showing off. And the knife was so good that it cut straight through the seed, straight through the skin of the avocado, directly into my hand, slicing open my hand. And I was like, I have to go now. I can no longer be in charge of cooking. Because I've sliced my hand like they do in the movies.
I'll say there's nothing that feels better than when you get an exact the right shot on a sphere like that. And it digs in and you're like, you feel it bite and you're like, I mastered it. And then you twist
caught that fish. Yeah, for sure.
But I got to the point where I was like, this is insane. I've cut myself several times doing that. And then I was like, well, I'll just put it on the table. And when I do that, then I like drive the knife into it and immediately the avocado shoots off the table. I'm like, well, what the fucking, and then like I look at it and it's got now these wounds all over it from where I dropped it. And then also where I cut, where like it just, the knife missed and like went into the flesh of it. There's a way better way to do it that I discovered, which is you just take that half of avocado with the seed in it and you reach around to the backside of the seed, like on the skin. I mean, you're on the outside of the skin. And you just push with your thumb. And when you do that, it just pushes the avocado, it pushes the seed out. It's so easy. It's like the easiest thing in the world. There may be like a quarter of an inch of flesh right there on the outside. Sometimes maybe a little more. But like there's just enough that like when you put pressure on the whole thing, the seed pops out. That's one.
That makes total sense. I'm just thinking very thoughtfully about that. That like, yeah, what did I think? Because there's no like membrane keeping that seed in there. It wants to pop out. Huh.
It's slippery by design. I don't know by design, but it's a slippery little seed that just, it doesn't want to be in there.
Yeah.
The other one is, I think, this is another food one. I think people are eating kiwis wrong. Do you eat kiwis?
I have eaten kiwis before, yeah. I also know where you're going
with this. I might
have
brought this to the office.
Yeah, I
brought this to the office.
And I want you to present it to the audience before I'll be your dummy. Yes, I eat kiwis. Okay. I skin the kiwi and I eat the green part and I'm happy, and I'm a normal American. You know a better way?
Yeah. This is going to sound crazy to everyone at home. So I want you to sit down. If you're driving, pull over. You got to eat the skin. And the way to do it is to get the right ratio of like super good flesh on the inside to crunchy, delicious, hairy skin on the outside is you cut your kiwi into medallions. Like you cut off the ends, those weird little like nubs that are on every single fruit on both ends. And then you just continue to slice into medallions. And now you've got a perfect little sliced kiwi. And around the outside is just a fair amount of skin, like just a tiny amount of skin. And the skin in that circumstance gives the kiwi this extra crunch that's so delicious and good. And the skin's very good for you too. Like you should be eating the skin of kiwi anyway. And it makes the kiwi, it just elevates the whole kiwi. Otherwise, kiwis are just sort of like this mushy, sweet mess. And with like a little bit of seed in the middle of it. But if you have the skin, oh man, oh, the whole meal is heightened. Go ahead, Dan. Tell me now why you think that's bullshit.
Listeners, when I tell you that this shut down our office, I cannot oversell this. We lost our minds. Everyone was freaked out. This is probably 2010, 2011. So you have to understand context. None of us knew that Soren was insane yet. We all thought he was normal and good and cool and did normal and good and cool things. And we were weird comedy goblins. And like, it slowly dawned on us over time that like, oh no, he's nuts as well.
But he belongs here.
Yeah, we didn't know that yet. And then he like biggest smile in the world, chomping on the skin of this kiwi. And we all thought we should have made sure that the doors are open, because I think we're all gonna die today. I think this is how he kills us somehow. The people were mad. People were upset. Yeah. Work stopped. We just stopped making articles and videos that day, and we got so furious with you, and you weren't backing down. And then I tried one of your fucking kiwis with the skin on, and it's so good. It's so much better. I'm even madder now than I was then.
It's so good. It's like, you understand. I totally get why people would be like, you don't eat the fucking skin. Because they're used to cutting their kiwi into wedges. And then like, it would be like in a soccer game where you have the orange slices and the skin is still on. You're like, oh no, I eat the whole thing. People would be like, no, you're a serial killer.
That's too much of that texture.
But when you cut it just into these medallions, you get just like the right amount of skin on the outside, and you eat it and you're like, oh fuck,
yeah.
This is delicious. Everyone should be doing this.
Yeah, it's crucial to let everyone know that Soren is not like biting into these as one would an apple or anything like that.
right Yeah, you don't want that. Obviously the ratio has to be right.
Yeah,
but like when you do it, it's like you realize like there's so much more to the fruit. Oh, it's so good.
Why did you start doing that?
I'm trying to think. I think that maybe my wife taught it to me. I think Colleen was doing it, and I had this maybe the same reaction where I was like, that's not how you eat a kiwi. you poor thing. You don't know how to eat this fruit. Let me show you. But I can remember, like, I don't know. We don't eat a lot of kiwi anymore. I don't really know why. But we used to eat a ton of it. It was like the fruit we would have every single night, and we'd cut them into medallions, eat them that way. It also maintains the integrity of the fruit a lot better, because kiwis can be mushy.
I'm trying to even remember in what context I eat, because I'm not a big, I like kiwi, but I never buy it, and it's not around that often. I feel like, is it one of the ones that shows up in like fruit medleys? I'm trying to, because I know I've had it many times, but I'm just trying to figure out like what context I eat kiwi in. This is a good podcast.
Is anyone getting anything from this? I'm with you. It does feel like it's disappeared from my life in such like a weird way where I'm like picturing the store in my mind, and I'm like, I don't even know where the fucking kiwis are anymore.
Like, I know.
Because they're certainly not in the organic section.
We had kiwi in the office. That's how all this started for us. There was always like fresh fruit in bowls around the office cafeteria. And now that I haven't been in that office in 5 years, I guess I'll never have kiwi again.
Yeah.
That seemed like the only opportunity for me.
The only places I really think feel like it shows up are when I try my exotic juices from 7-Eleven or some gas station, generally when there's like that, the fruit splashing into water on the front.
Yeah.
And I think I there's like always like a little kiwi in the corner that's like, don't forget about me.
I'll get fun kiwi drinks for sure. And the other place I think like raw, loose kiwi shows up is like breakfast buffet bars. And then I'll have kiwi there for sure, because already if I'm at a breakfast buffet bar, I'm somewhere exotic that I don't belong, because that's just not a regular part of my life. So I'm like, I just stroll up there. It's like, I don't normally eat kiwi, but I'm also not normally eating a buffet for breakfast. So why not? Yeah, let's have some kiwi. Let's passion fruit. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I only live once. Let's see whatever they're offering, I'm going to take it, because what is that, this is the experience.
A deviled egg for breakfast? Sure. Someone thought it was a good idea.
What will the Sheridan think of next? This is amazing. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking that I don't think it, like, I think about fruit salads and stuff. It does not make appearances.
Yeah. Where is kiwi? Google.
That's a good search.
yours are like game changer things. I don't think mine are on that scale. And it's something that I've given you shit about, on this podcast earlier today in this recording. Going to the movies alone is, in my brain, far superior than any other movie theater going experience. And it took me until college to get there, because when I was in college, I always loved going to the movies, and my college roommate didn't. And my only like movie buddy was, she's come up on the podcast before, my friend Nancy, my squash yoga emergency room movie buddy Nancy. And she had a very specific taste in movies, which was bad. And so the only movies I saw was when she was like, we're gonna go see Step Up to the Streets. And I was like, all right, I mean, popcorn will be nice. I like a movie, so it'll be fine. And there were so many movies that I tried to get my roommate to see, or I tried to get Nancy to see, and they wouldn't see them. So I was like, all right, I guess I don't see that movie that I want to see now. And it wasn't until I was like a senior in college where I was like, I don't care if no one wants to see Atonement. I want to see Atonement right now. And I went on my own time, and I went by myself, and it was great. And I have never looked back. I have friends. I am now back in New Jersey, where I have lots of friends. I think like the most recent thing that comes to mind is when the latest Scream movie came out, and all of my friends were going together. And I was like, that's great. I will also go this weekend, and we can all talk about it later.
I will not see it with you.
I don't want to meet. I don't want to like do anything before or after. I'm gonna go to see Scream at 4 o'clock in the afternoon by myself, and it's gonna be great. And I can't think of anything better to do with my time. It's so much better to go to the movie theater on your own time and not have to deal with crowds, and just like treat it like anything else that you do on a whim. Where it's like, you know what? I feel like what's playing? What's playing right now? Amsterdam?
Yes.
Sure. Let's do it. Let's see Amsterdam right this second.
I'm totally with you. I love going to the movies alone, and I love doing it in a way where like I don't know what I'm going to go see.
Yeah.
Which is super rare in my life right now. I haven't done that for years and years. But there was one night where Colleen, we'd driven to Tucson, and it was a nightmare. Colleen was like, I got to fly back. There's no way we can do that drive back with Ronan. Because he was real young, and he was freaking out the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so she was going to fly back with him. And it meant that I drove the car back, but I drove back a day before their flight. And so I got back, and then I had a night for just me. And it was like the first time I had a night in so long. And I was like, all right, I'm going to downtown. Like, maybe I'll just go see what restaurant I want to eat at, and just walked around. I was like, this one. And it was great to eat alone. And then I was like, and now maybe I'll see a movie. And I just walked to the movie theater, and I was like, had no idea what I was going to see, but I was going to see a movie alone. And I was so fucking pumped about that prospect.
That's the other thing that's great. Like what I just mentioned before, like, oh, what's playing? Amsterdam. I want to see that. Let's go see that. You don't need to do that. The last time I was in, not the last time I was in LA, because that was for the Emmys, but a time before that when I was in LA, I was out of my Airbnb. My flight was still hours and hours away, and I had a rental car. So I just went to the IPIC movie theater in Westwood, which is my old neighborhood movie theater, and a great theater, very comfortable. They bring food right to you. And I just walked in there and was like, oh, the new Buzz Lightyear is playing? Okay. And I just, like, you know, it was the nearest movie to when I had showed up there. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't planning on seeing this, but I don't give a shit. I'll see whatever is playing. And it was great. I had a lovely time. That movie, in my memory, is now and will always be good because I had a good time watching it.
Yes. Yeah. That's I frequently talk about Rocket Man. I'm not joking when I say, like, that's the best movie I've ever seen. And it was only because I went to, like, an AMC dine-in theater by myself and I was like, good sir, bring me some tacos and don't stop till I say so. And I just ate alone in a dark theater in the middle of the day. And I was like, this is the best movie that's ever been.
All right, the show is a quick question,
we both are going to do it. Let's do it at the same time. It'll be fun. Okay. You can follow Daniel. The show is quick question, but you know that already.
We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available.
Financial daddy.
Mirex.bandcamp.com. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD. You can find me at DLB_INC.
Email us. Or QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com.
Gabe Harder is our email the show. QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. We're on Instagram. You can find Gabe at GabeHarder.com.
Also Patreon/QuickQuestion. And our theme song is by the incomparable Mirex.
You can find their music. You get exclusive content.
But of course, Mirex.bandcamp.com. That's it. We're doing that more. That was great. Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.